You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Did you see anything that suggests that that trio will show up on the actual score sheet tonight?
Well, they didn't really show up to practice today. I didn't even see Jordan Eberle's face today or Nugent Hopkins. So I don't know. That's a great question, man. And we've been asking it since the start of the playoffs. So no, didn't see anything. They didn't take the optional, at least Eberle and Nugent Hopkins, as far as I could tell. Didn't talk to the media. So yeah, they were non-existent today. We'll see if they're any more present tonight. This is where you learn a lot about players. I mean, the playoffs are supposed to be where you learn a lot about players, but these big moments within the context of the playoffs are where you find out even a little bit more. And we'll see tonight. I mean, I don't know if Eberle's going to produce or not, but we'll see if a Game 7 type moment can give him a reason to elevate his play, his intensity level to a different level, or if it's going to be more of the same.
See, Shogar, I agree. I mean, I've been calling it for a while. I'm like, okay, sooner or later, Eberle's going to get going. You know, Nugent Hopkins going to find the back of the net, Pouliot. The problem is that I just don't know that you can flip this switch on in Game 7.
Well, yeah, because you would think that switch would have been flipped from the regular season to your first NHL playoff games, right? If there was ever a time for that light to go on, it would be okay. Yes, you've done a lot of losing in regular season play. Yes, it's been frustrating, but now you're here, and what do you got? And the answer's been not much. And so now you'd think the obvious would be, well, it's Game 7. It's do or die. If you don't win, you're done for the year. Never mind what you've done to this point. Nothing else matters. If you play well tonight, you'll be remembered for playing well tonight. Is that enough? Is that enough to compel him to do something, to step outside his comfort zone, to do something to get noticed and be a difference maker? And we'll see. But honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, if he does, the Oilers have a better chance of winning. If he doesn't, they've been winning without them. So it's not nearly as important as it was towards the end of the season when we were all talking so much about the secondary scoring. They're not getting it, and they're in Game 7 of the second round. They can clearly win without it.
I'm going to make a statement. You can agree or disagree. I think Gibson is the biggest wild card in this game tonight.
Agree.
And why do you feel that way?
Well, I mean, for probably the same reasons you do, Struds. I mean, that was a really big Game 6 for them, and he was brutal in the early going. He's got a little bit of experience in the past in Game 7. I think he's got one start, and I think he lasted about 22 minutes in that game. Now, he was younger, and that was a while ago, so we won't pin that to him, but we certainly will pin Game 6 to him. And I think that Cam Talbot has been building towards this moment all season long. I think that he played more minutes than anybody else in the league, was one of the better goaltenders in the league this year. I think there's a good chance tonight we're talking about Cam Talbot having held the fort for his team and helped push them through to win. I think he's going to be a storyline. I think one way or another, Talbot's going to play well tonight. And I don't know that we'll be saying the same thing about Gibson. We might, because he has shown some flashes. But I would bet on a strong performance from Talbot tonight, miles ahead of John Gibson.
But isn't that interesting? Like, you know, there's been, you know, maybe a few blemishes here and there, but for the most part, Cam Talbot hasn't really been a storyline that we've talked about over this series.
Well, you're right. I mean, there have been big players in a lot of the games and big performances in a lot of the games and comebacks and lots of other storylines. But to me, I mean, I think Talbot has been good. I think that, you know, you look back to, I'm getting my games mixed up now. The Oilers were down a couple of goals. And then it was,
they were down 3-0. They tied at 3-3 in game three at home and then lost 6-3.
But he never gave up. He never gave up the 4-2 goal through two periods of the other team dominating. He's been on stretches where his team hasn't been in sync, but he has been. And has he had some weak spots? For sure. But I think that Talbot has been building towards this all year. And I think it'll be a strong performance from him tonight. If you were to bank on one thing tonight, I would say a strong performance from Cam Talbot would be a pretty safe bet.
Ryan Schrock from TSN joins us. Shocker, the bottom six, is Kasha going to play tonight? We know that Thompson's going to play, and he missed the whole third period of game six. But Kasha going to play? If not, are they going to keep Holzer in? Or are they going to bring up Carrick and play him on the wing? What are they doing on their fourth?
Yeah, I'm not, honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, Carrick's in the mix. They had an optional skate. It's really hard to tell. They're so guarded about their lineup, so I don't know exactly what it'll look like. We were keeping an eye on Bieksa today, too, who looked like he was... He started out looking really sluggish, but then once practice really got going, he actually moved around not too bad out there. So do they maybe dress seven defensemen and include Bieksa in that if he's close, if he gets clearance from the doctors, and then you have the opportunity to give him a go, and if it's not going well, now you're only playing a forward short rather than a defenseman short. So could be something along those lines. I was asking around a little bit today about some of the local – on the local Ducks media, and if BX is ready to go, if it's an automatic that he gets back in, or if it's maybe not so sure they necessarily think he's the right fit. And I got mixed results. My sense of it is, even if he's ready to go, I'd be hesitant to pull Theodore and put him in ahead of him.
Agreed. Like, that would be a huge benefit to the Orders, because I think BX's foot speed would be exposed by the Orders' top lines.
Oh, please. I hope he plays. I'd be begging for him to get in there. Even if he'd only plays in that seventh spot, he's just taken up a spot where I don't think he'd be really productive. I believe it'd be a mistake to put BX in this game tonight.
Well, it all depends on his health, right? So when he was healthy at the start of the series, they wanted to go with him, and they did. That was before Vatanen was fully available. I mean, he's a veteran player. Randy Carlyle did say in a Game 7 situation, you want to have all the veterans you can. But foot speed is an issue. And especially with Nugent Hopkins now freed up from those other guys, they're going to want their top two pairings saved for McDavid and Draisaitl. And now with Nugent Hopkins on a third line, it'll be a tough matchup. If I were them, I would not be rushing Bieksa back into the lineup. I'd let, if Theodore's a decent skater, I'd let that matchup continue. And the interesting thing for me is just whether or not they want to find a D pairing to go up against Draisaitl specifically. If maybe they look at trying to, I mean, Fowler and Vatanen are not built to handle Leon Draisaitl and Milan Lucic. They're just not. So you wonder if maybe they try and get Manson out there against those guys.
What was the vibe around the each dressing room? Was there a different vibe? Nerves, excitement, yeah. Tense? What did that like this morning?
Yeah, well, listen, in the Ducks room, I mean, we got to fire a bunch of questions at them about previous failures, right? And they knew it was coming, but it's very relevant. Four straight game sevens on home ice, they've blown. So, of course, we're going to ask him about it. Kessler was interesting. He kind of... I'll paraphrase him because I don't remember the exact quote, but he paused when we asked about the previous years, and he said, that was years ago. Well, it was last year, but in the year before, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was almost like they're trying to think of a way not to let it be relevant or not to let it matter, but it's pretty hard because it is relevant and it does matter. This was this core group of players that spit that bit last year and the previous years. So definitely, I think, some nervous energy in the Ducks room just because this history is hanging over their heads and the way Game 6 went. And the Oilers room, it was fine. I mean, it was, you know, McDavid was a little tense through his media. And I'm not saying that he looked tense, but, you know, Connor can sometimes be a little bit short. And he'll start talking and then just realize, I don't really want to talk about this and go just, so yeah. He did that a few times, and then he lightened up quite a bit when Min from CBC asked him about the picture at the airport with the couple. His clip was quite funny. He just said it was kind of awkward, and they had a death grip on him, and he was just trying to get to the plane on time. But Lucic was very light, very easy going. So was Klefbom. I think there's going to naturally be nerves that they have to deal with, but I think they're prepared for that, and they're okay with it. And I mean, the start, you guys, is going to be absolutely crucial because if the Oilers can get the jump on the Ducks again, it's going to be this here-we-go-again mentality. And, Jason, as you pointed out in your article in the Journal, I mean, the Ducks have just not ever given themselves a chance to play with a lead in these big situations. And what better way for the Oilers to pile onto that Achilles heel than to score first?
Shocker, before we let you go, tonight many slow-pitch leagues have their season debut. It's game seven. Would you show up and play, or would you cancel it if you were a slow pitch player?
Yeah, I mean, I understand you got to be committed when you sign up, but man, oh man, you'd have a hard time dragging me out of the house to go play baseball on a night like tonight. So, yeah, I think I'd be staying home, boys.
Well, it'd be hard, especially when you're only going to play like an inning or two, right? Like, are you a starter? I don't listen. I know I'm not a good player. I wouldn't be able to. I'd be lucky to get at bat once or like Stradman, just be the back catcher. I'm terrible at
baseball. Is anyone even going to notice if you're not there? I mean, really?
No, they would not notice that I wasn't there. They'd actually be happier.
Well, somebody, there'd be like, where's the orange slices? Oh, Strud's isn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think it's, but I can't believe, like, if there's two groups. And we were talking to someone earlier today here down on the Rocks. Someone was saying, I've got a slow pitch game time. Like, are you kidding me? You couldn't ask the other team, both of you, to say, hey, let's push this back or let's both forfeit and just not play. Like, this is crazy. I don't get it. And because these are obviously sports fans. I'm not talking about a book reading down at Audrey's Books.
Yeah.
I'm talking about sports fans playing sports. You can't push it back? Crazy.
Maybe like I don't know. I guess there's no way to drag a TV out there, hey? You could watch TV while I'm playing baseball at the same time. So I think that's possible.
This is what I would do. I'd be the captain of my team, and I would call the captain of the other team and say, okay, our game's supposed to start at 6:30. There's no one on the diamonds. Why don't we just go there at 5:30, combined between the two of us? Because you ump your own games in slow pitch, right? Like, figure out a solution.
Or just say,
Greg,
we
in what imaginary world are you named the captain of any team you're ever on?
Yeah, I know. That's a good point.
Shocker, you obviously, I've pretty much captained most of my teams. So, nice try.
Well, yeah, the Roly Fingers.
What was it? Roly Fingers was a baseball player. Well, okay?
He was also the name of the town you're from.
Yeah, so. And it's John Gibson. Shocker.
Were you the kind of captain that just like filled the water bottles while the coach was around, or were you for real?
Hey, 4 minutes a night, guy. Okay, do we need to see your pictures of your back injuries in the paper
That's
again?
That's a stinger.
Yeah,
please don't.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Shocker, we will chat with you tomorrow.
See you, buddy.
Okay, yeah.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.